Where were you, Mom and Dad? Where were you, Grandma and Grandpa? That's the conversation that they don't want to have. So when you hear all this stuff about, oh, this is critical race theory, or this is designed to make kids feel bad, recognize those are code words for saying, we don't want this Black history being taught in our schools. We don't want people to understand what happened. We don't want people to know how much fight we have to have in order to secure this democracy. That's what they don't want to get out. And that's why we've got to put our bodies everywhere where their lies are. Because if we don't, we are not able to pass on our legacy to future generations. And we can't be the generation that allows that to happen, Barbara.
When you're laying all that out,
and the listeners are sitting there listening to all of this, and they're hearing this talk about, you know, well, you can watch the Freedom to Learn rallies and the conversations that they're going to have, and then they're going to have these workbooks, these work sessions that they can download and use. It sounds like you sort of want to encourage folks to have sort of listening parties where they can watch the sessions that are going on. Is that accurate?
Oh, Daryl, that's why I love working with y'all. Because y'all take and build and build. That is brilliant. Don't sit in the computer and look at it yourself. Invite some people over. Get it HDMI
right.
And put it on the television screen. Turn it on in the beauty shop or the barbershop. Because we need to have a discussion about this. We need to mobilize around this.
Yes.
That's exactly. And we need to know that we're not alone. That's the problem. We are not lighting up the sky with our flares so people can see the light that all of us are moving with. So it's bringing us all together and saying, this is outrageous. We're not going to stand for it. And we're going to make people know that there are consequences if you try to take away our history and our knowledge.
Hey, hey, hey. And we have been joined by another guest who I know is probably by chomping at the bit wanting to get into this discussion. And that is none other than attorney Marwuli Davis. Marwuli Davis is the co-founder of the Davis Bozeman Law Firm. And I mean, that's one of mighty firm people. And it's located, headquartered out of Atlanta. And he leads the firm's criminal defense and trial divisions. He's co-host of the Black Men's Lab live session. He's he's a United States Navy Academy graduate where he played varsity basketball and majored in political science. He's a graduate of Georgia State University's College of Law, where he was recognized in Who's Who among colleges and universities and awarded the Thurgood Marshall Award for his outstanding achievement as a law student. He's among less than 3% of the lawyers in Georgia who received the honor of being selected as a rising star by Super Lawyer magazine. He's named Civil Rights Attorney of the Year by the Gate City Bar Association and Humanitarian of the Year by the Atlanta Chapter of Phi Beta Sigma Incorporated, and he's co-founder of Let Us Make Men. I want to welcome Marwuli Davis. This is one fighting brother. You probably heard him a couple weeks ago when we were in front of the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals arguing against those murderers of Ahmaud Arbery who were trying to get a new trial, trying to get the acquittal, where they would be acquitted of having, you know, done anything wrong with hate crimes when all they did was, you know, kill this man because he was Black. And Marwuli helped to organize folks out there. He was there speaking. He was in the courthouse. He had to put those lawyer hours aside and said, I got to do some real work for the community. And he is a fighter. He is a fighter. He is a fighter. He is a fighter. Marwuli Davis, welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you. I want to start by saying, can I officially say that I've been on the radio now with Professor Crenshaw? I just want to be able to. I'm trying to get my street academic scholar credibility out here. When I go back over to Clark Atlanta University, I'm going to be able to say it now.
Oh, brother, you got it in spades listening to all that you've been involved in. I need to meet you.
Oh,
You gotta enjoy being my bully.
We gotta get you to Atlanta. I'm excited. We had a very powerful evening last night, focusing on the brothers, because what Professor Crenshaw continues to raise, and Sister Barbara, you and Daryl keep lifting up, is the misinformation that's put out that really
seems a lie.
It's just lies, right? It really, the objective is for us to stay on the sidelines and not be engaged, and to believe this hype and this narrative that says we and our people don't want to be engaged anymore. We're tired of this, we're tired of that, but we're not willing to do anything about it. But last night, I'm so glad Daryl was able to come in from the DMV down to the dirty South to Atlanta and spend time with Black men who are activating and doing work and being involved and taking up these issues. So I'm looking forward to sharing in our Black Man Lab network what Professor Crenshaw has lifted up that's coming forward, so that we can be involved, because we are experiencing the same thing, obviously, in Georgia, in the city of Decatur, in these different spaces that our children are living and learning, and they need to be affirmed. And the removal of the books are an attack on our humanity and on our ancestors. And we got to be clear about the attack on our ancestors. Everyone else's ancestors are sacred. But ours, they seek to eliminate from history. They seek to remove. They seek to continue to really degrade them, even in death, right? And that is the sickest part of what they do, is to make us believe that our history is one that should not be honored and lifted up and organized around. So I'm grateful. Just glad to be on with you all, and this is an important moment in our history, and it's time for us to continue organizing and working together.
Well, there's so much to be said, and Kim, let's talk about this virtual rally that Daryl has told everybody, make it into a watch party. Come on now, so get together and do a watch party around this virtual rally. Tell everybody, because my Wooly, you got to hear the names of some of our friends who are going to be on this program. Everyone who's going to be on that program, who's going to be speaking, because they're going to want to hear these voices. They're going to hear familiar names coming up.
Absolutely. And you know, I want people to know that this is a culmination of the last 4 weeks. We have taken a page out of history. You know, both you and I, we love our history. And know that the thing that kept the Montgomery bus boycott going, what kept all of those Black people walking miles back and forth to work there and back for a year, was that they had the opportunity to come together at night in church to support each other, to share the vision of the world they wanted it to become, to be supported with each other. And so we realized leading into this Freedom Summer, we need to have an opportunity like that. So for the last 4 weeks, on Thursday at 8 p.m., we've been coming together. We've been learning about what the threat to democracy is. We've been learning about why they've been trying to take away our story. We've been hearing from individuals about what kinds of things they're facing, the teachers whose ideas are being chilled. We've been hearing from artists. And so now it's all going to come together on Thursday, and we have coming through Mark Morial from the Urban League, Melanie Campbell from the National Coalition of Black Civil Participation, Damon Hewitt, Siobhan Arline Bradley, Reverend Al Sharpton, Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, Congressman Jamie Raskin, and our own Tim Wise, anti-racist writer who does a corner called White Lives Matter. So we want people to come and get inspired. We want them to bring their communities with them. This is bringing a page out of our history. We know how to change things. We just have to have the determination that now is the time to do it. And that's what we're hoping to accomplish on May 2nd and May 3rd, into an entire summer of Freedom Summer 2024.
Woo! You know, the Bible says that people who don't know their history are bound to repeat it. It says that the people perish for what? The lack of knowledge.
The lack of knowledge.
We are talking, folks, right now, about this whole effort to try to deny us knowledge. You know, one of the things I love that Fire Rose Turay, who has the Selma Jubilee movement, always does, and that's the big, you know, reenactment every year of the Pettus Bridge March. So people know who John Lewis is. People know who Hosea Williams was. People know who what C.T. Vivian did. People understand the power of Amelia Boynton Robinson and all of those amazing people who did that work. But one thing she loves to do, Ma Wooley and Kim and Daryl and everybody listening, is that she likes to point out that Black history is misunderstood if you don't understand how often Black couples came together to make change.
Mm-hmm.
She always points out, you know, that Frederick Douglass, people might know, but they don't know Anna Murray Douglass, who is his wife, who actually is the reason why he escaped slavery, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
She worked and she gave the money and bought him the outfit that he was able to dress up in and wrote his papers, get the papers written for him. And she was a person who throughout his life, you know, was so powerful until she, you know, passed early, much earlier than he did. And people don't. You know, people see Coretta Scott King up there next to Martin Luther King, but they don't understand it was that couple power. They don't understand it was the couple power, you know, that that drove the Abernathys. You know, people know about Ralph Abernathy, but they don't know about his wife. You know, there's so much that we miss because one of the things that is used to hurt us is that whole mythology that Black men and Black women can't get along. And that we can't work together. And that's a divisive tactic. Is it not, Kim? And is it not, Mawuhi?
Oh, it's so divisive. And let's remember, some of the women in history that whose names we know also had husbands who supported
them.
Ida B. Wells' husband.
Right.
You know, Barnett, he was an amazing support for her, quiet power, the ability to travel, the ability to take her message and put it out through his newspapers. You know, there's so many examples, and that's the history that doesn't get told because white supremacy wants to tell the story that Black men and Black women are implacably opposed to each other. They want Black men to believe that lifting up Black women brings them down. They want people to believe that there's only one story of racism and the contestation against it. And if we tell the story and support Black women, that somehow Black men are not going to be there. And this is what the right wing has shown us. If they keep saying something enough, eventually mainstream media says, oh, well, there must be something there. And then they start reporting the story. And then when they start reporting the story, then people say, oh, well, I guess I better get on this bandwagon, too. That's what they did with critical race theory. That's what they're doing with DEI. DEI is now being reported as an epithet. You know, a bridge collapses in Baltimore, and what's the cause of it? A DEI mayor. DEI is just another word that's being used as the N-word these days. And the reason it's effective is because it's getting repeated. So now we're seeing the same thing with Black men. It started way in the right wing. You know, Black men, you know you're not down with this. And it gets repeated. Then the mainstream media picks it up. A few unfortunate people who ought to know better repeat it. And then people think, oh, maybe it's a thing. Maybe we're not together. Maybe we don't support each other. We got to know when we're getting bamboozled. And that's why your show and your work is so important, because you all bring the truth. And it's up to people who heard the truth to take it to the other people who aren't hearing it, because we all need to respond to this stuff. They are trying to take us apart because they want to take us out of the equation altogether.
Woo!
And you know, Mawuli, at our discussion last night, Mawoli, was that not the point that was coming up? You know, we had Tremaine Lee come from MSNBC and ask that question with regards to saying that